SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on the Sports Grid Network. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside set to break down Week 14's game of the week. For some, a Super Bowl preview, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. Tom Brady versus Josh Allen, a big-time game. Tampa Bay at home, a field goal favorite. The total for this matchup, 53.5. Donnie, start us off here. What are you thinking for Bucks-Bills?
You know, it's easy to try to train your eyes and say it should go over the total of 53.5. But we also have to remember there are two good defenses that are going to play football here on Sunday. Now, most of the focus, and rightfully so, goes on Josh Allen and Tom Brady, saying if they get it cooking, it doesn't really matter what the defenses are doing because those guys are so talented that they can pick apart even good defensive schemes. Now, if we're going to look from a perspective last week where were the Buffalo Bills gashed? Previously on their two games where they embarrassed themselves, right? Even though they only lost by 4 points, it was an embarrassing effort on defense, not being able to get off the field at times here, knowing that the New England Patriots are just going to run the football. Rewind back just a couple weeks, and you saw that same game plan work to fruition there from the Indianapolis Colts. But that's not really the MO here, Kevin, as we enter this game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Leonard Fournette's had a great season, both catching the football and also rushing, but I don't think they're going to line up with the same type of game plan and say, hey, we don't need to throw the football. We're just going to run it against this undersized defense and do some damage here. That's not what Tom Brady does. So if we take a look from that perspective, you're looking for more air yards here out of Tampa Bay and also the Buffalo Bills. But again, these defenses do have the ability to rush the passer and do some damage. So 55 points or more in this game, which probably is what it's going to take to cash, there's a legitimate chance, but it's too easy for me just to say take the over. Now, from a side perspective on both of these teams, what do we like? Tom Brady at home. Oh, my goodness. Do you see what Tampa Bay does each and every week at home? Fantastic. Now, the one thing you also want to take a look at is the last two games for the Buffalo Bills on the road versus the last two games for the Buffalo Bills at home. Take a look at some of these scores. On the road against the Jets. Yeah, it was the Jets. Still 45 points. How about on Thanksgiving night? 31 points here against New Orleans. At home the last two games, Kevin? 10 points and 15 points. Much better weather conditions than those two previous home games here for the Bills where it was rainy and windy against the Colts and just incredibly windy and cold against the New England Patriots. They should be able to move the football. I think this is a buy low point here for the Buffalo Bills. Let's see where this line closes at because 3 seems about fair, but if you can get possibly a 3.5 on the Buffalo Bills, that would be enticing enough for me, bet Kevin, to bet that game and bet the Bills.
It is a big test, of course, for the Bills. But the Bucs as well. Bucs hold a 5-0 home record straight up. The first game at home as defending Super Bowl champions, of course, was against the Dallas Cowboys. They won the game by 2. A lot of people left feeling like the Bucs should have not won that game. The other 4 games, the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Bears, and the Giants. They played nobody at home. Of course, they are a dominant home team. And in fact, Tampa Bay hasn't really played a lot of good teams this year. You play who's on your schedule, but that's relevant to trying to break this game down. Now, the interesting note overall for me, though, is the total, as Donnie talked about. 53.5, your highest total on the board. If you're a weekly special player, this game is the favorite for being the highest scoring game right now, and it makes a lot of sense. A plus 450 price in that market. We bring the radio audience into the fold. Appreciate all those who are tuned in to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside breaking down the matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. But Donnie, as you said, you can't always just look at the highest total and go, oh, there should be points. Give me the over. Let's really break it down. When you look so far, the Bucs have scored 30 or more points in every single home game. They are averaging 38.4 points per game at home. The Bills have scored 30 or more points in 5 of their 6 road games and are averaging 31.5 points per game on the road. And yes, that includes a 6-point outing in Jacksonville. These teams, Donnie, both are live to get to 30. I think it's very realistic that both get to 30, and I do think you have enough here to play over 53.5.
Yeah, and these are big games for both teams, you know, in two different directions, technically, Kevin, because you look at the Buffalo Bills, and we did, you know, do they make the playoffs, and how about their team total down the stretch? Because I do think the Buffalo Bills have three easy wins on their schedule, which will give them 10, and they should get in. But it's not looking good for the Buffalo Bills if you continue to drop games against teams that you're trying to compete with and think that you can win in order to get to a Super Bowl. But also from a Tampa Bay perspective, you are fighting with who? The Green Bay Packers and also the Arizona Cardinals to get that top seed. And I always have to keep reminding people, you know, years past, it used to be fighting for the two byes that you get in the AFC and the AFC. Now there's only one bye in each, and that is massive because, as we do know, Kevin, Tampa Bay at home, they are destructive on offense. On the road, maybe you can clip them and beat them.
I will say, this is one of the games where the give-and-take nature of the Buffalo Bills can push me to their side. And what I mean by that is they have rotated their covers now for a while, but simply they have not found themselves not only on a losing streak this season, they have not found themselves on a losing streak against the spread. I think Donnie's spot on here. It feels like your worst case scenario at Bills plus three is a push. I think they're absolutely live in the football game, despite how pathetic overall that game against New England was and it being a short week. It'll be a really fun game to break down. There are a lot more games to break down, so keep it right here on the Early Line, live on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the Early Line, on the heels of breaking down a high-profile game between one team from the AFC East and one team from the NFC South, we transition to a game that will feature both of those conferences, yet not as much juice. The New Orleans Saints travel to New York to play the Jets. They are favored in the football game coming off of a Thursday night loss to the Dallas Cowboys. They're favored by 5.5 points. The total for this matchup is 43. Alvin Kamara, Donnie, people are hoping back to the starting gate here for the New Orleans Saints. Taysom Hill remains under center. Zach Wilson coming off of one of his better games as a New York Jet. A pretty great first three drives, and well, then Zach Wilson got back after it in the way that he typically does. What do we think here, Saints-Jets?
I have to tell you here, looking at this game more as I get going along during the week, I'm not in love with the over in this game at 43, which you say, well, anytime the Jets defense is involved, you probably want to start playing some football and say, I want to lay some wages on the opposite side. Now, outside for me, like the Taysom Hill rushing props are going to be interesting once they're posted, because I don't know how sky high they can actually be. He did run for 100 yards against the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, you're not going to set it at 90.5 for a quarterback, but he is going to be the primary focal point of the offense, because when you take a look here, the Jets defense isn't very good. Well, the New Orleans offensive line is injured right now and isn't very good. So if you take a look here at Taysom Hill being a passing quarterback, which he's not already, Kevin, and going to be playing with a possible splint on his throwing hand where he's saying he's got to get used to gripping the football, doesn't sound like a pretty good offensive game plan to me. That's going to include a lot of passes. And also keep in mind, this game in the Meadowlands, so you're saying, okay, cooler conditions, windier, and oh yeah, well, he's got some great wide receivers. They don't have really any wide receivers. And yes, Alvin Kamara, one of the best backs in football. Yeah, off injuries. That means he's going to get 30 touches in this game. So leaning more towards the under, but I have to say, Kevin, looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook and that 5.5 as a home dog, dare I say the Jets can hang around in this football game? I think so.
I am trying to take Donnie's cautionary sign here that maybe this total isn't too low. But then again, it is a Jets game with a total of 43. Therefore, that total is too low. Now, I've seen movies like this before. I sit there loaded up on an over, and at halftime I go, Why am I sat here loaded up on an over? That features Taysom Hill and Zach Wilson. I understand that is very well how this can play out. But if you look at the New York Jets, 8 of their last 9 games have gone over. Or excuse me, rather, 7 of their last 9 games have gone over. I believe the Saints will move the ball. And now, I will say this. This is where the team total way that DRS continues to teach the people makes a lot of sense. Because if somebody says, why do you like over? And I say, well, because I think the Saints are going to score 30, then forget Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. That is how I am interested in this game. I truly do believe that Taysom Hill and this team will move the football. I will add a weekly special we talked about earlier this week. Taysom Hill to throw a touchdown and run in a touchdown is 3-1. Last I saw, that is a number I am still very, very interested in. If the Saints are going to keep their postseason hopes alive, though, they do need to win this game. The other New York team is in action. They're in action, though, across the country. They travel to play the Los Angeles Chargers. Donnie, this is really the most important question with this game. Who's playing quarterback for the New York Giants?
Who's playing quarterback for the Giants and who's catching passes for the Chargers here? So, I mean, we're trying to get an even breakdown of this game, Kevin, right? And say, how can we make the most shrewd decisions and which is going to make the most sense here? And you say, okay, look, forget about even, say, let's just say you didn't even look at the line this weekend and you're just saying, look, how can I break this game down? Well, you say to yourself, all right, Chargers are a good football team, but no Keenan Allen and no Mike Williams, which means there'll be a lot of Austin Ekeler, which means you'll be running the football and not as explosive as you should be, and rightfully so. Then you take a look at the Giants on the opposite side and say, well, can it get any worse? Because Daniel Jones is terrible. He's not going to play in this game. Mike Glennon got a concussion last week, and he gave most Giants fans a concussion watching that football team as he tried to operate on offense. So now you're saying Jake Fromm, who knows about 3 days of the playbook, and you say, can it get any worse? Maybe so. But then you open it up, Kevin, and you see a line of close to double digits on the Chargers with a COVID outbreak. Normally, the Donnie right side of me would say, that's way too many points. Are you kidding me? The Chargers here, even though Justin Herbert's a great young quarterback, they don't have any weapons. There's no way they're going to be able to beat an NFL team by double digits. And then you realize you're going to get Fromm at quarterback, and every time he drops back, you're going to say to yourself, why did I bet this football game? Because points aren't the issue for the Giants. It's this kid just taking the snap, and does he actually know the snap counts and to make proper reads here to adjust the protection from right to left? Mm-hmm. This is going to be a struggle to watch. Now, for me, I probably won't have any wagers in this game outside of I hope both of these teams do rush for a touchdown apiece. But my goodness, Kevin, how do you quantify a 10-point line here, but then all of a sudden at the opposite side say, I want to get in bed with the Giants getting close to 10? This is a crazy game.
It's one of the games, though, Donnie, where it doesn't surprise me if the Chargers leave the Giants on zero. I know that you might, okay, hold on. Now, why is everyone saying that Jake Fromm can't do anything? And so it might be less about Jake Fromm and more about where this team is. Look, their last three outings, they scored 10 points, 13 points, and 9 points. And that was with Daniel Jones, a first-round quarterback who has been around in the NFL now for a few seasons, and then Mike Glennon, a veteran quarterback. So to ask Jake Fromm to come in with an offense that has been completely stagnant on the fly and figure it out is truly unfair. So if you made me play the side, Donnie, I would have to play the Chargers. But I try and ask myself, how does this game get over? And the true answer is the Chargers defense. The Chargers, like Jake Fromm, sometimes is how it's weird how totals work. But basically, Jake Fromm would be so bad, it actually would push the game over. A defensive touchdown, another interception that sets the Chargers up on a couple of short fields. That would be how this game gets there. Because, Donnie, the New York Giants have played 6 straight unders. But as always with trends, you want to add that context, right? The total's 43. What if some of those games went over 43? The most points scored, total points scored in the last 6 Giants games, Donnie, is 40 points. And that's because the Bucs hung 30 on them because the Bucs were home. The Chargers are going to have to put up 35, I think, for you to get over 43.
It's crazy, too, because you're talking about a guy that has a badge on his shoulder of pain from the Giants needing 16.5 points and having 10 points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the 9-minute mark of the second quarter. So I understand that. And again, it is going to be tough here for the Giants. Now, and I can't use this anymore, Kevin. Oh, the Giants are getting healthier on offense because Sterling Shepard's practicing, Galladay's practicing, and who knows if Kadarius Toney's going to be back in this game. Because it doesn't matter who you have around at the skill positions if the quarterback can't deliver the football, and that's what I'm seeing for this weekend. So, again, getting back to the original point with what I'm looking at, it's crazy to me that the Chargers are almost a double-digit favorite when they might not have half of their offense out on the field. It's wild.
Do you remember, Donnie, early season when the Denver Broncos hosted the New York Jets? And I think it was like a 10-point line. And we were talking about the game. And we're like, yeah, but Denver might cover if they get to 14. And they did shut the Jets out. And it was like the most predictable shutout in the history of the NFL. This might be the second most predictable shutout in the history of the NFL. Cutscene Giants score like 25 points. I don't know how Jake Fromm is going to come in and get a stagnant offense off the ground. And as you meant, without really a full complement of weapons on the road, it just doesn't feel like the scenario is going to be there. Coming up against the break, though, when we come back, we stick with the NFC East. A really big game for the entire NFC playoff picture is set to take place between the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. Is Dak Prescott? Are the Cowboys on upset alert? We'll break that down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, the Washington football team, the red hot Washington football team, is a 4-point home dog against the Dallas Cowboys. The total for this one is 48. Washington enters right now inside the NFC playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys enter off of a mini bye DRS, one of the most interesting games I believe Week 14 is offering. How are you seeing this one right now?
Yeah, I'm seeing this one here, which, I'm leaning towards the Washington football team in this game. If you take a look at the past 4 weeks here that they played, they won at home versus Tampa Bay, went on the road, beat Carolina, won at home against Seattle, went on the road and beat the Vegas Raiders. The offensive output hasn't been explosive, but take a look at the rushing yards here over the past 3 weeks, Kevin. 190, 152, and 112. So that is Antonio Gibson finally getting healthy from that earlier season shin injury that he did have. Now, also in this game, Kevin, there are weather concerns. Rain looks like expected in the forecast for just about the entire game. So you would figure maybe the ground game comes in a little bit more prominent than maybe it would not have. Also, Taylor Heineke, a very mobile and athletic quarterback that if the weather conditions are, you know, iffy to say the least, he can scramble around and make some plays with his arm and his legs. But I do think Gibson is going to have a good football game here and be the centerpiece of the offense for the Washington football team. Let's flip it over to the Dallas Cowboys here. Dak Prescott, great quarterback. All three of his weapons at wide receiver are going to be healthy. That is certainly what you want because certainly when you take a look at the Washington football team, that secondary, a lot left to be desired here at them stopping the pass. But also when you said, okay, everything works in unison for the Dallas Cowboys. When Dak Prescott is right, the offensive line is blocking, the three wide receivers that they have coupled with Pollard and Zeke in the backfield, everything is moving. Now, if you're going to come into this game in the rain, Kevin, where Zeke Elliott, it's clear. If you've watched anything with him running from his old style to what he's doing now, that knee injury is really hampering him. Had an MRI, they say nothing's really wrong with it, just really sore and maybe some rest for the rest of the year. But now you can't really say, hey, you're going to have a lot of rest in a game because Pollard hurt his foot last week on a touchdown run, which he's going to be a game time decision. So in the rain, leaning more on Dak Prescott's arm, maybe that pass rush can get home here versus Dak Prescott, but I see a lower scoring game in this one. And yes, I'm leaning towards the Washington football team here with the points.
Each and every week, Donnie leaning to the Washington football team. Each and every week, Donnie correct. I'm getting tired of this. I am getting tired of the Washington football defense turning a corner. I am getting tired of the Washington football team even finding ways to turn the corner and play under in most of these games. All of this has been very, very frustrating to watch. Can Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys buck this trend? And I believe they can. Now, some of that is just a disbelief that Washington has truly turned the corner. You might say, well, look at their last couple of outings there, holding back-to-back weeks, Derek Carr and Russell Wilson to 15. The Raiders at home are just not that great. Russell Wilson was broken until last week, and I think we all know that. What they allowed Cam Newton to do is essentially a negative based on everything that happened to Cam Newton when he went to Miami. And I'm excited to talk actually about that Panthers-Falcons game coming up. This is trust in Dak Prescott. This is a spot that the Cowboys have to be able to win in. They have been great against the spread, of course, throughout this season, people know, but especially on the road. 5-1 against the spread this year on the road. 2-0 as a road favorite. This is a spot to me where the Cowboys, off of their mini bye, should be getting the job done against this Washington team. I will say, I think Ezekiel Elliott enters with potentially the most interesting prop numbers of the week, because Tony Pollard, with an injury that if he was any normal human being and not a premier NFL athlete, would be out for the season, is questionable this week. Plantar fasciitis, I believe, is what he has. But if he misses this game, what do they do with Ezekiel Elliott? Look at Zeke's last 6 weeks. 50, 51, 41, 32, 25, 45. That is not, you know, the Zeke who was giving us 100-plus yards during a couple-of-week run there. But if Pollard is gone, you have to kind of price him like he's going to get a full workload. And that is also why, Donnie, I'm not only interested in what they do with the Zeke numbers, but I'm interested in the Dak numbers. This might be a lot on his arm here this week.
Yeah, you're right, and it could be. And also, when you take a look at rainy conditions, it depends how hard it's going to rain here, because we know you can still get open catch passes and make some hay through the air as long as it's not windy and rainy. But also, from an opposite perspective here, Kevin, where you're looking for Dak Prescott's arm per se, I'm sort of looking towards the opposite side on the Washington football team and the running game. Look at the last five games here for the Dallas Cowboys, Kevin, on defense. I'm going to just give you the rush yards per game and then also the total yards that they've given up per game from the running game. 4.6 versus Denver, 4.3 versus Atlanta, 4.8 versus Kansas City, 4.1 versus Vegas, and 5.9 versus New Orleans. Now, that equates to 190, 103, 126, 143, and 153. Taylor Heinicke combined with Antonio Gibson, maybe they provide that punch on the ground to keep the football away from the Dallas Cowboys. Should be an interesting one here. But if the Washington football team wants to make the playoffs, if they get a win over the Dallas Cowboys, they might be favored to get into the playoffs and, I'm going to say, do some damage, but at least get back in there just like they were last year. And you know who they gave an issue to? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's see how Washington finishes his football season, but it all starts this weekend versus the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think they definitely would actually move to favorites for the postseason if they win this game. I believe we saw them at 2-1 to win the wild card. Mm-hmm. In some bizarre way, the division, though, would technically be within reach if they won this game. Let me add quickly on Antonio Gibson, Donnie. If you look at the last two games, obviously the rushing yards jump out, even the last three games, 95, 111, and 88. But the last 2 weeks, if J.D. McKissic is out, okay, Antonio Gibson had 7 catches on 7 targets for 35 yards against Seattle, and 5 catches on 6 targets for 23 yards and a receiving touchdown, in fact, against Vegas. He is a player that they will use as an every down back if J.D. McKissic is not there. Great look for props if you're going to get involved in that market. Panthers, Falcons. What a fascinating game you have here, because I remember not that long ago saying, Donnie, you think either of these teams could be into the postseason mix? And I remember Donnie said, huh? What? What are you talking about? What's the segment here? And then eventually said that nobody was actually going to get in from this group. Correct. Overall. But one of them is going to be 6-7. That's the same record as the Eagles. That's the same record as the Vikings. It could very well be the same record as Washington and San Fran if those teams don't get the job done this week, Donnie. So who's it going to be, the Panthers or the Falcons?
No, first thing I like to say, like, even when I don't technically know what's going on, the right answers always come back here. So you can always trust good DRS if you throw it to me. Even if you wanted to put me up on screen while KW was talking, I'm more than happy to do that as well. So let's get back to this game, Atlanta versus Carolina here. It's one thing, Kevin, it's trust. It's just trust here. If you're looking for Carolina, where did you see the edges where when Cam Newton came back? Hey, maybe they're going to run the football a lot and use Christian McCaffrey because now he's finally back healthy and you can get an advantage that way. Now you take away Christian McCaffrey and you leave yourself with just Cam Newton. Where are they throwing the football? How are they moving the football downfield? I don't particularly like the Atlanta Falcons one bit at all, but if we're taking a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, an over-under of 41.5 sounds about right. But I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons with the 2.5 points just because Matt Ryan is a professional quarterback and can move the football with his arm. And he's deteriorating as he's getting older in his years. But at the same time, when I look at Cam Newton on the opposite side of the football, Kevin, I don't see a passing game here. What's the ceiling for Cam Newton? 175 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. How are they moving the football? Give me the Atlanta Falcons plus the points this weekend versus Carolina.
Slander. Cam Newton's going to tear this team apart. Ding, dunk, ding, dunk, and he'll figure this whole thing out. He's going to be back. He's going to do it again. I hope Cam Newton, I want them to be down in this game by 14, and then he does the I'm back. I don't care. He should continue to hype himself up throughout these games. He really should. But, Donnie, I don't think they're going to be down by 14. Because here's the thing. Was that Miami game the worst performance a quarterback has put forward this season? Quite possibly. 5 for 21. Woo! 5 for 21, 92 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. But the week before that, Donnie, 21 of 27, a 78% completion percentage, 2 passing touchdowns, ran one in on the ground. It really happened the week before. That vaunted Washington defense cut it out. Miami's defense is way better than Washington, and it's way better than the Atlanta Falcons here. Weirdly enough, did Cam Newton break the Panthers' defense along the way? Like, they're 3-0. I don't know. Like, this team's 3-0 to the over since Cam came back. Why is their defense giving up 30 points per game over the last 2 weeks? I don't know how you figured that out there. I don't trust Atlanta to score. I'll take the Carolina Panthers, Donnie. I think Cam Newton goes in and gets after it.
Yeah, we'll see if he does. Maybe a rushing prop, because now you're taking a look also, Kevin, at Christian McCaffrey not being in the game. So when Cam Newton is at home and that ball's at the 5-yard line, I'm pretty sure Chuba Hubbard is not getting that call. It's going to be Cam Newton rushing it in for a touchdown, showing the Superman and throwing a football to a kid in the stands with a Cam Newton jersey. So maybe an anytime touchdown prop for Cam Newton, maybe the best way to go in this game for me.
Which has cashed every single game Cam has played this year. Yeah. Also, Cam, call Josh Allen, help him out, and let him know that when the people need one more yard, instead of just putting it into the belly of your awful running backs, just keep it, brother, and help us out. I'm not mad about the plus 320 ticket that lost because he ran for 39 yards. No, I'm not mad at all. We come back a couple of games to finish up here. We get you the pick six as well before we send you off into week 14 of the NFL. Keep it right here in the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make it happen here, closing out the early line with you. We got, what, 3 games to go? Not good ones. There's actually some ugly games on this slate. It's like really, really good games and some really bad games. Let's talk about some of the really bad games, although they can be good if you cash tickets. Seahawks, Texans. Oh, man. Davis Mills is back? Oh, man. Oh, Seattle. Is Seattle good again? Oh, I hate this game. Seahawks lay 8.5, totals 41.5.
Yeah, wait till you see when Tyrod Taylor gets back, Kevin. I mean, the Texans just really going to take off. Not so much there in a 17-9 loss to the Dolphins. Somehow miraculously, my favorite one is that they actually went on the road and beat the Tennessee Titans, scored 22 points. Like, that's the Tyrod Taylor I know. And then you realize they didn't even have 200 yards of offense in that game and still picked up a victory. Then you lose to the lowly Jets at home. And again, right around 200 yards of offense. And you said it can only go up from there, Kevin. And you play the Indianapolis Colts, you don't even score a point, and you have roughly 130 yards total of offense. So they say, okay, Tyrod Taylor, thanks for that. And here comes Davis Mills again. And you're like, whoa, what are we going to get out of the Texans? Not much here on Sunday. Now, the one thing I do like about this game is I think Pete Carroll, right, and that whole locker room, he still has the attention of him, right? Russell Wilson, that team played good last week, able to upend the 49ers. So maybe you can have that glimmer of hope. And I like to say they're not getting to the playoffs. But as professionals, you still have to show up on Sundays and you still have to perform. So if you're looking at, you know, this weekend per se on offense, I think Russell Wilson has a big game. It's in a dome. You're not worried about windy conditions. Each and every week, Kevin, outside of that finger injury that he's had, he's looked better and better. More, you know, evasive in the pocket, arm, be able to test it and throw it downfield, dime passes to Tyler Lockett like you saw last week. I think the Seattle Seahawks can name their price. The one issue here typically, as I've said in the past, if you don't press Seattle, they're more than happy to score 13 points and win an ugly football game. So what I'm hoping here is the offense for the Texans is so bad that you have no choice but to go on 40-yard scoring drives repeatedly here. I like the team total over this weekend for the Seattle Seahawks, and I think the Seahawks blast the Houston Texans this weekend down in Houston.
Look, they should. This is one of those games, I'm taking my notes, I'll end up writing, feels like a props game, which roughly translates to, I want nothing to do with the side or the total. I will say this, though, from the side. Davis Mills is one of the most incredible quarterbacks. So his first time he started was against the Carolina Panthers. They were getting 8 points. Then against the Bills, 18 and a half. Then against the Patriots, got 8 points. The Colts, 11 and a half. The Cardinals, 20. Against the Rams, 16 and a half. Davis Mills, if they're on the field, they're getting over a score every single time. And by, like, it's not, I was like, oh, well, where's the covering? And he covered two of those games. No, he's not covering. No, they're not scoring. And by, like, one of those covers was getting 16 and a half to the Rams. They lost by 16, and I think they went on like a 22-0 run to close the game.
Yeah.
Listen, the Texans are just not a team that you will convince me to ever get involved in there. I think Russell Wilson over 1.5 touchdown passes was a market that, look, you brought it home against Washington. They hung it at even money against the Niners, and you got it home again. Now, I think it's 1.5, but it might be a little expensive. We'll see. 130, 140, no doubt. If they get up to that 180 price typically, that might be a little too taxing, but you could probably still convince me he's throwing for multiple touchdown passes here against the Houston Texans. Let's keep it inside that division, of course, that the Texans play in the AFC South with two teams from there. Tennessee, Jacksonville, Titans off the bye. Need to get right, Donnie, a two-game losing streak here. Well, in comes the get-right machines. They did it for the Rams last week, who beat them by 30. Can the Jags help the Titans get right here this week?
It's pretty crazy because you take a look at the Jaguars, who were the worst team in football last year. So, hey, they're going to get the easiest schedule. If you look at their last five games, Buffalo, Indianapolis, San Francisco, Atlanta, and the Rams. You know how much easier it gets. And then Tennessee, you know, theoretically with a good record here, a little bit down and injured. But this game doesn't come down to me, Kevin, for Tennessee and what they're going to do on offense. It's what am I getting at all here from the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence? Mm-hmm. Now, also some infighting here about some certain running backs that should be in the game. And, you know, one running back you think should be starting, but another kid was from Ohio State and they both fumble, but you still play the kid because he's from Ohio State. And then your starting star quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, says, hey, the other guy should actually be in the game much more. He's a better football player than the other kid from Ohio State. So if you read between the lines, there's a lot going on behind the scenes here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But at the same time, you're trying to take a look at what makes sense here, right? A close to double-digit, if not double-digit line that we're going to see come Sunday. How can you trust the Jacksonville Jaguars here, Kevin? Because sometimes when you're dealing with a line that could be 10 points or more coming on Sunday, what are you saying to yourself? It's not necessarily that the Jacksonville Jaguars can win the football game, but I always use this analogy. If you're down 14 points, Kevin, with 4 minutes to go and the football on your own 20-yard line, where the other team is saying, we'll give you as many yards as you want, but you're going to take 3.5 minutes off this clock if you want to score a touchdown, can they do it? I'm not so certain we can. Look at the last five games here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 9 points, 17, 10, 14, and 7. And in a majority of the, you know, those games, you're not necessarily getting blown out, but you see the same scenario, right? 23-17, 30-10, 21-14, 37-7. Where are these late points coming from where you should be able to stat pad here and get yourself back in the ballgame? Kevin, I can't trust the Jacksonville Jaguars. So no matter what the line is, I'm not interested in their direction.
You can't be. And I don't think you can trust the Titans, Don. I think it's under 43.5 without much hesitation. Look, 10 of 12 on the season under for the Jaguars. Donnie gave you all those under trends. Here's the thing with the Titans. Last two outings, 13 against the Texans, 13 against the Patriots. Even the two games, and this is all the course of Derrick Henry game, right? They scored 28 against the Rams, buoyed by a pick six, and then another pick that put him on the two-yard line. 23 against the Saints, a fumbled kickoff that put him on the five. They haven't hit a team total since that Rams game, and again, they were fortunate enough to get there. The team total's 26.5. The Jaguars team total 16.5. I don't think either team gets there. It means you like under the 43.5 spot here. I believe there's one more we want to grab quickly. Oh, yes. Everyone's favorite, the Detroit Lions, the Denver Broncos. Ooh, buddy. Now, this game will be featured in my pick six, so I know I can break it down there. Donnie, I guess the question on everyone's mind for those under 1.5 backers as it pertains to that Lions win total, upset alert for Denver?
No, it can't be upset alert for Denver here. This is one of those where, like, and we very rarely get to use this scenario for the Detroit Lions. Dare we say a letdown game for the Detroit Lions?
Yes.
Because they won one game on the season in the last minute. The party, I mean, they had been rocking and rolling all over Detroit all week, partying like rock stars out here. We got that W. But yes, now you got to play a football game and go on the road. And theoretically, Denver's still trying to fight their way somehow into a playoff spot here. The Detroit Lions, I don't think you're going to move the football at will in this game, like it seemingly they did in the second half versus the Minnesota Vikings, particularly the last drive of the game. Denver should win this one. But Vic Fangio, let me just ask you a question here. Detroit is not talented on offense. Detroit is horrendous on defense. Teddy Bridgewater, what's the game plan for this week? Is it the same one we just saw against the Kansas City Chiefs that said, no matter the situation, let's hand it off and not look at the scoreboard or the time? Let's just see if we can make it a competitive game. Because let me tell you something here. If you let Teddy Bridgewater drop back 40 times in this game, I promise you, you will blow Detroit off the field because they can't defend those three wide receivers. You have two legitimate running backs with Melvin Gordon coming back this weekend. Let Teddy Bridgewater do something other than hand off. This team is not good with a pass rush, talking about Detroit. Their secondary is terrible. Their offense is not explosive. You should blow this team off of the field. So having said that, Kevin, I think this game gets over the 42 here because I think Detroit's going to still use the kitchen sink analogy, going for it on punt returns and fake field goals and throwing the ball all over the place. But I do think Denver has a chance to score points this weekend. I'll look over 42 here in Denver.
It's interesting that, you know, I feel like sometimes Donnie lines up my picks.
Sometimes I look, I don't know.
You know, there's some fades in here. I will say, listen, that's fine. If people don't know this, I'm the greatest underbetter in the history of the world. So if I were Donnie, I would change that take immediately. Although, don't worry, they'll never cut that into a clip. He has nothing to worry about. I'll say this, though. You've got a Denver team that's played 10 of 12 under and the Lions that have played 5 of their 6 road games under. Detroit's offense does not travel. Detroit doesn't really have an offense unless you're the awful, terrible Minnesota Vikings defense that somehow, some way found the way to let them look competent there. I don't think the Lions get above double digits, really, and I don't think Denver's going to do much because Denver doesn't seem interested in doing that much. The only thing that would trip it up is if Donnie's right, I guess, is if Dan Campbell comes out and is just super guns blazing. He's like, all right, we go for it here. We go for it there, like, for no reason, and Denver has put no choice to score 30. You still might get under 42.5 if Denver scores 30. Pick six time here. Donnie, feeling on top of the world. I know last week he hit a Moneyline dog. So did K-Dubs.
Yeah.
Moneyline dogs continue to be wonderful here on the pick six. Teaser spot is going to be contentious this week. I do know that. Let's start it off here, DRS, your pick six for week 14.
All right, let's get after it. A touchdown score this week, and I've been hyping this up all along. If we're going to get rainy conditions down in Washington and play a Dallas defense that has been a sieve against the run and a young running back heating up, we're going to take a look at the Washington football team and go with Antonio Gibson. No lines currently here listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but he will reach pay dirt this weekend. Over under that game, sitting around 48. If we take a look at the Moneyline dog, we just went over this football game. It's just about trust at this point. So if I'm going to take a game, I'm not interested in saying, hey, Jacksonville's going to come off the mat and win, you know, their game where they're getting 10-plus points or more. I'm going to look for a game that I do think is going to be lower scoring and a battle and an interdivision battle, and we're going to go down between Atlanta and Carolina. I'm going to take Atlanta here, Kevin, to win this game outright, sitting at a plus 116 price. My under of the week, again, going to another division battle. The Dallas Cowboys traveling into Washington, D.C. to take on the Washington football team. If there's rain in the forecast, a couple banged up running backs, two of these teams that are just looking for a win and get in and get out, I'm going to take the under 48 in the rain in that one. And then if we take a look at the alt line, coming right for old K-Dub here. If I think a blowout like might be on the horizon, is this when the Vegas Raiders check out on the season? Is this when all worlds collide here, Kevin, and you get a honest performance out of the defense for Kansas City? You get a Patrick Mahomes 2020 version of the offense where they light up the scoreboard and drop another 40-point shot on the Vegas Raiders. I'm going to go with the over in that game here and say we are going to get some points here, Kevin, and the Chiefs are going to score more than 14 points here over what they need to beat them at. Because, hey, we could just take it cheap here, but that alt-line price plays at a plus 130 if the Chiefs can win this game by 14 points or more. Yards prop here. George Kittle said it already. There is nobody out here we have to worry about. Everybody's banged up except George Kittle. He goes for over a buck in that game. And then we'll take a look here at the teaser game of the week. Those Buffalo Bills getting 9. Is there any way I wasn't going to go with a Josh Allen today and also a teaser game with the Bills? Come on now. I left you plenty of time, so get after it.
Yeah, no, plenty of time. So much time. I'll waste some time right now. I'm not even worried about it. I'll even break yours down, too. I think the Bills teaser spot looks pretty good. Look, all right, Raiders plus 16. I told Steve the graphics guy to get me 16. Leaves me 15 and a half. Even sent me a thumbs up. I'm getting slandered left and right, this whole crew. Dak Prescott over yards. He throws for 300 against Washington. Alt line over 56 and a half at a plus 120 price in Bucks Buffalo. I should have put 59 and a half, but I went with the coward's price. Under 42, Donnie's a maniac. Detroit, if they scored 10, they should pop champagne again. No way that game gets over the 42 spot. Moneyline dog, Ravens win, plus 124 ticket. Devontae Adams, cap out your week at a pick six. Anytime touchdown score. That's the pick six. That's plenty of time. That's the early line, but Donnie will finish it out after this quick break right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the week on the early line, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Talked a lot of football today, and the coaching carousel is heating up in college football. So, you know, one last time for this week, people, listen up. All right, Football Friday here on the network, so we have to keep the genre going because we only have one college football game this week, and that is Army-Navy, which takes place tomorrow. But heating up, we talk about the hot stove in Major League Baseball. Boy, the stove is heated up in college football. Why is that? We saw Mario Cristobal leave Oregon and head down to Miami, which leaves a coaching vacancy out on the West Coast. Who could it possibly be to be the coach of the Oregon Ducks? I don't know. How about a guy that we've seen in the past? One Chip Kelly. You already saw Lincoln Riley go to USC. The arms race has begun. A 10-year, $100 million-plus contract there. And if we take a look at Mario Cristobal to Miami, who cashed in for roughly $80 million, Chip Kelly might be able to name his price with good buddy Phil Knight back in Oregon, and it would be sensational. Last time we saw Chip up at Oregon, 07 and 08 as the offensive coordinator, then four straight years as the head coach, an unprecedented success that saw them get to a championship game and barely lose that one. man, Chip Kelly back to Oregon would be sensational. Chip Kelly went to Philadelphia as an Eagles head football coach. Didn't work out all that well. Went to the San Francisco 49ers to be their head football coach. Didn't work out well. Struggled heading back to UCLA for a few years, but looks like he's finally righting the ship. But no better time than to get out of LA and head back to Oregon than now. You're going to get that big paycheck here, and you need the villain back in Oregon to battle for Pac-12 supremacy. If there's any way, Phil Knight, you have any extra money in your cushions left over, sign Chip Kelly back to a contract. Let's get the powerhouse back in gear here for the Oregon Ducks. I think we can make it happen. Much more fun, an action-packed, guaranteed conference next year in the Pac-12 if he does return. But the one thing you guys have to do is make sure you stay tuned for the Morning After with Ben Stevens from 9 to 12 right here on the grid. For myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, we'll see you Monday.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This is the